Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I sometimes, when I get up on a day like today, say to myself, wait a minute, back up, Mike. Back up, Mike. Do you remember being a younger person when you paid no attention to politics? I mean, you always knew about it, but you looked at politicians, what were they? You knew that they were all fakers, all of them, top to bottom. And then you wake up as an older person, and for years I've been studying what they've done to the country. And I got so involved with it that I'm in it. I'm in the jungle here. I'm in camouflage. My face is painted. I'm bleeding on my feet, and there's no way out of this jungle. There's just no way out of it. How do you get out of this when you see what's done, what's been done to this country by the subversives? Is there a clearing in the jungle? Does it ever end? Are you allowed to take a vacation? Can I take a vacation? I knew I wanted to get off a day this week. I couldn't. Not with the convention. Next week, the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist Party holds their convention for the world to see their platform. I don't know whether they're going to be able to get the leaders of ISIS to give speeches, keynote speeches or otherwise, or even offer them jobs. I suspect that one of Hillary's campaign promises might be that if she becomes president, she will end ISIS's war against the civilized world by offering them jobs in the State Department. It's possible. Anything is possible with that woman. So how can I be off next week, I say to myself. So I can't be off next week. So that leaves me a couple of weeks in August until Scorched Earth comes out. And that leads me to the question of the day. Yeah, I'll talk about Ted Cruz. I'll bring up Ted Cruz, and you can get to complain and say he's a genius or he's stupid, he shouldn't run. You know, big deal. The whole thing is absurd. No one pays attention to the election until after Labor Day. Did you know that? Raise your hand if you knew that. Raise your hand if you knew that the average person out there doesn't even focus on the election until after Labor Day. Okay, I see one hand in the audience of 490,000 people. They don't even know what I'm talking about. Now, I've got some stories for you that I've got the red meat. You want the red meat right now, or would you like the corn? You want the corn, you want the green peas right now. Would you like to have the dessert before the main course? Here's some red meat for you. You know you're thirsting for it. You heard about the Muslim train hacking last week, didn't you? Right? You heard about the radical Islamic youth who was brought in as an asylee from Afghanistan. And he ran through a train last week hacking people. He hacked up a number of people, the Muslim, screaming Allah Akbar. And he almost killed three Chinese tourists, almost butchered them to death. Hacked them up. So take a guess what the logical response was in Germany under the anti-Hitler who runs it. Compulsory Islam classes in state schools. Now, I couldn't make this up. Instead of saying we're not letting any more of these monsters in fact, we're going to start kicking them out, German authorities, the anti-Hitlers, are bringing in classes on Islam in state schools in order to make people more sensitive to Islam. If this is not an example of a nation that's committing suicide, tell me what is. Okay, there's so many other stories. I mean, there's your red meat, okay? Take it with a little hot sauce. Chew it slowly. Be careful you don't swallow it without chewing. Do what your mother said. So we are facing the equivalent of a scorched earth. After 8 years of Obama, there is a scorched earth. It's the most brilliant of all of my books. I listed it finally an hour ago on michaelsavage.com and on my Facebook. And what is that book about? I'm not going to tell you. You can pretty much figure it out. I predicted the chaos that is Obama's legacy. I predicted it from almost the first month. The question is, what do we do about it? What does Trump do about it should he win? Where are the skeletons that he has to go and get? Who are the people that need to be fired? What's the damage that's been done? Restoring the country after Obama. And I do suggest you check it out on Amazon. But what I really want to do today is play Theme from a Summer Place for a minute, which we played in a minute. Not now, Robert. Poor Robert has to jump at the moment. He's a nice guy. He's a strong young guy. He has to listen to me through the screen. This is a wonderful thing, having the screen. You know, for 18 years I did radio with never seeing who was in the studios, wherever they were producing. I never saw them. Now, for years since I've been with Cumulus, we have a Skype screen, and I see them. I look over them like, God, I'm looking down. The camera looks down on them like in a gambling casino. They're not, if they eat, I can see Robert grabbing a piece of pizza. If Jim is doing anything, I can see Jim doing it. Of course, they could see me unless I put a blocker over the camera. Sometimes I'm in such a bad mood. I put a piece of Post-it over the camera. I don't want them to see me. Why must they be looked at while I'm doing a show? I'm not selling anything about my looks. This is radio. It's a show broadcast to the whole world. It has the largest audience in the world of any streaming talk radio show. Do you realize what an audience that means? How big it is? It's frightening. If I actually thought about it, I'd probably freeze up. I don't actually do a show thinking about how big the audience is. That's the odd part. I want to go into the psychology of something for a minute. Well, here's what I want you to do. I know, if you want me to do convention, there's nothing going on right now. There's a camera focused on an empty hall in Cleveland. Where they got the guy who trains the camels now on the center ring. They got the guy who cleans up after the elephants walk through the circus, is in there with the shovel and the broom. There's no one there. We're waiting for the ringleader. He's coming in later after I'm off the air. Everyone wants to hear the speech. I'm not going to talk about what he's going to say. He's been on the show for 5 years. You can pretty much predict what he's going to say. I can't wait to hear it. Fine. That's if I'm even going to watch it. I may or may not. I may not. Is there a loyalty oath where I have to watch Trump give a speech tonight? Must I? Is it required listening? Is there some party apparatchik who's going to come around and check off whether I'm listening to the RNC at all? It's crazy. People are so crazy. It's like communism right now in America. You have to be loyal to the party. I want to do this. Here's what I want to do. I want to set you up with a question. Play theme from A Summer Place as people call in on what's your greatest summer memory. I don't know. Did you ever have a nice memory? Stop for a minute. Is there anyone who listens to conservative talk radio who was ever happy for a minute in their whole life? Did they ever have a minute of joy in their entire life? I'm asking, or is everyone who listens to the talk radio miserable? Every second of their life a torture, a miserable torture. All I know is they hate liberals, but they don't know why. I mean, there's good reason to, as I articulate for years, but did you ever have a happy moment when you were young that you could remember and share on the air? But then I said, wait a minute. A lot of people listening to talk radio are actually disgruntled, and they're looking for an outlet. So I said, give them a chance, too. Give anger a chance. Give misery a chance. Give depression a chance. So what's your worst memory in summer? Like, were you driving on a beautiful summer day with your young family, and you're in a car wreck, and you're the only survivor? Something along those lines. Don't think those things don't happen. They do. And so when summer comes along, people's minds go back to youth or a time in their life. I myself have a piece from a summer. I can't say it was the best summer of my life. I can't. But I have a piece I did years ago called Love by the Sewer Plant. Raise your hand if anyone out there in this vast audience remembers Love by the Sewer Plant. Robert remembers it. It was in one of my earlier books of radio stories, Love by the Sewer Plant. It was about early love. It was very beautiful. It's not about sex. It's about love. Do you understand the difference? It's about a young love. It's about first love. And it's about that first feeling of love that everyone experiences if they're lucky. And you know, what I hear today is that love doesn't even exist amongst the young. They don't even know what it is. I am hearing and I am reading that they are so ingrained with digital and stuff like that, they don't even have love affairs. They don't even know what it is. Maybe the last generation is the last generation that's ever going to know real human love. Robert, is that a possible question that I could ask in the middle of a Republican convention when by law I'm supposed to talk about Ted Cruz all day long, that I'm required by radio law, I will be arrested if I do not talk about Donald Trump or Ted Cruz? But my mind is not in that today. I don't want to do it. I feel like I went to school and I don't want to listen to the teacher. Remember those days of going to school on a warm day? Maybe it wasn't exactly summertime yet. It could have been in, like, May. And your ready mind was on the summer where you were going to be. And they were banging your brain with the geometry and the history. And your mind wasn't there. You were thinking about the mountains or the shore. You were going to go up to the mountains for the summer. I mean, I worked every summer in the Catskill Mountains to make some money. I have some great fond memories. I don't live in those memories. It's not like I don't even think about them. They're not part of my life anymore. I am so in the present. Remember the gurus used to say, raise your hand if you remember this, all of you out there, all you ex-hippies, raise your hand. I'm doing a new thing, like I'm imagining, I'm in this little room, imagining I'm talking to this large audience. I have to envision you. I have to picture you. So I'm seeing 400,000 people sitting in front of me now saying, do you remember those days, what it was like? Do you remember any of those days? Is there anyone out there who remembers anything about their life before politics infected your brain? Before you became obsessed with the characters on television? They're not even real to you. Do you think Rachel Maddow is actually real to you? No, but you hate her because you know what a lout she is. Okay, I'm giving you an example. Do you think Wolf Blitzer is real? He's not even real to himself. When he wakes up in the morning, he wonders how he can go on another day being such a loser, knowing what he's done to Israel and America. I want to talk about that as well. I have another thought about that. Like, who am I off air? Who am I on air? I'm talking about my multiple personas as a result of being a media personality. What do you think I do all day long when I'm not on the air? Do you think I walk around saying, I am great, I'm Michael Savage, with a booming voice in my head? I am so great. I'm number one in streaming. I have bestsellers. No, I don't. I schlep along like everybody else. That's the whole point. And what am I making? Well, it's the same with politicians. It's absolutely true. They cannot be walking around like the great characters we think they are. Take a look. Take an example like Ted Cruz for a minute. When he's in the morning, and let's say does he drink? I don't know what kind of guy. I know he's so into like the God thing. Is he allowed to drink in his sect of religion? Did they drink anything other than strychnine, lighter fluid, snake venom? I don't know what they drink. Let's say assume he takes a drink. It's like Ron Paul. Remember him? For years, all I heard, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron. Now the guy's selling like a squeezer, a juice squeezer. I couldn't believe I was listening to it. How it happens to, like when he was running, you thought he was God. I am Ron Paul and I'm running for president. I used to get slammed with callers all day long. Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron Paul, Ron. The lunatics. Then they did Ted Cruz, Ted Cruz, Ted Cruz. Now I'm getting Trump, 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 Trump. This is like the true believers. So what I'm saying is now, picture Ron Paul in the morning, wakes up, his teeth are hurting him. He's having trouble going to the bathroom. He's no longer famous. He's not running for office. He's got probably pyorrhea, falling, herniated, something or other. His foot hurts him. Do you think he gets up and says, I am Ron Paul and I'm running for office? No, he's like schlepping along like all of us. So what is the point? I don't know what the point is. The point is that there are no supermen. There's no supermen out there. Everybody, at the end of the day, is a human being who 99% of the time schleps through the day and hopes they can get through the day without hurting themselves or someone else. No homicide, no suicide today. That's the number one motto. Put that in front of your head. Remember, don't hurt anyone today and don't hurt yourself. If you can get through the day without hurting yourself or someone else, then you will be a man, my son. Hey, look at the stories out there. How do people go through the day? What do they look forward to? They wait for the convention to get invited to Cleveland to wear a crazy hat and let a balloon go? Tomorrow they're going to be flying home out of Cleveland. Could you imagine? After this buildup? All of the depression, flying home, going back to ordinary lives around America with nothing to look forward to. I'm getting the calls. They're coming in. They're coming in the tent now with the calls. Here we go. Good memories, bad. So what I want to do before I take my first break, I've given you a nice rambling monologue opening. And I don't have a particular reason to have done that other than that's what I am thinking right now. How's that? Does that work? That's it. It's that simple. I gave you what's on my mind rather than what you expect me to talk about. Does that work for you? Because that's all I can give you. I cannot give you a pre-packaged radio show with a set number of things in it. I mean, I will play a little bit more today of that ex-KGB officer. That was a big hit yesterday, Yuri Bezmenov, on the subversion inside the United States by people in the media and the government. We found a new tape of his that you're not going to believe. The guy was a genius. He died in the 80s, but what he said is worth listening to. So there's the opening. Robert, as we take a quick exit off the opening of the show, The Savage Nation, the most listened to streaming talk radio show in the world, would you play the Bup Bup song, the Shabup Shabup song, just as an exit? I'll be back in a second. Oh, so we got great callers lined up already. Thank God. I have a gift for this business. What's your greatest summer memory? What's your worst? You can't believe the calls we're going to have the minute I come back. I can't wait for the show now. I was tired when I started it. I mean, a stack of stories. So I'm thinking about my vacation I'm going to take after the Democratic convention. I'm not good on vacations. My family just dreads the idea of me going anywhere with them. I change hotel rooms four times when I get there. But that's a separate story. No meal ever works. Everything's wrong. So I'm thinking of something really that would work well for me. Like, how about chartering a yacht in Nice with a Turkish crew? That would be a hell of a vacation. Or I could see if I could be the only white guy at a Black Lives Matter summer encampment where they do target practice somewhere in Louisiana. That might be a pleasurable experience. Or, let's see, I could work with some of the Democrat Socialist Progressives on undermining America for the summer at some encampment in Berkeley. That might be a nice summer vacation. You know, a ruckus people over in Berkeley. No, I don't think I'm going to do any of that. If I say vacation, you know what I want to do at this point? I can't go back again. You can't go home again, right? There's no way to go back to your childhood. I think of mountains like the High Sierra, hiking, alpine, shorts, yodeling, like green gum. I don't know, something way up in the High Sierra with the summer flowers that I used to collect. That's not a bad idea. Take Amtrak, get off in Truckee, and go up in the mountain.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Season 25 of the Kardashians is The Sisters Will Sleep Each Other. Welcome to season 26. Here's the new America with the degeneracy. Watch the parents sleep with the children of the Kardashians. Season 28. See the parents sleep with each other. No, that's impossible. They're two mothers. That's what it's come down to. You wonder about the subversion of the United States by Wolf Blitzer, how it all happened. And I'm supposed to pay attention now to the perfect family in Cleveland? It's like the whole thing is like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. When I like that. That's nothing wrong with it. But it is so blonde, Christian, white. Maybe that's the whole thing. They're giving us an option. America could be saved again if we go back in time. I mean, I don't know what the whole symbolism is here. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe we need two straight white men to straighten out America. Maybe that's the imagery that the ad people are presenting to us. Like, let's give two white guys a chance to straighten out America. We tried everything else. How'd that work out? The world is in flames. The country is upside down. Everyone's perverted. So let's try that for a minute. Let's try two straight white guys. Now look at the Drudge Report just now. Where does Drudge get these pictures? Is that Donald Trump near the slot machines? It looks like Michael Corleone in The Godfather 2. Where did he get this picture from? How old was he here? Like 31, 32? Where's Fredo in the background? So we're going to go back to my show now, which is What's Your Greatest Summer Memory? What's Your Worst Summer Memory? It's a nice show. Ease up. We'll do the politics later on. That's all. Scott on WVLK Radio in Kentucky. Welcome to the Savage Nation. So what's your best memory? When, where, what happened?
Well, it was back in eastern Kentucky, and I was 17, going to high school, didn't know much, and testing myself out in sports and things, and a friend of mine introduced me to this girl that was about a year and a half older than I was. He was dating his sister at the time, and from the moment I met her, it was one of those things that you would see in a movie, just across the room. Locked.
Oh, a lightning bolt, the eyes locked, the lightning bolt.
Oh, God, it was totally electric and amazing.
How did that work out? I can't wait to hear the rest of the story. Did it work out well or bad?
Well, it worked out very well for over a couple of years. It was just amazing. There's nothing about her that was bad at all. I've never met anyone like that in my life.
So why didn't you marry her?
Yeah, I wish I would have, but I was still young and stupid. It was my fault.
Oh, you were 17 years old. Oh, and where is she today? Have you seen her recently?
No, unfortunately, several years ago, she had breast cancer and died.
That's terrible. That's heartbreaking. So do you hang on these memories?
It was the best memory of my life in that summer. And then
this is no joke now. So now I've tapped into an emotion. So you fell in love when you were 17. You lived in paradise with her for a few months. You remembered her for years, but you didn't marry her because you were too young. Then she dies. Did you get married subsequent to that?
Yes, afterwards I did. And I have some beautiful children. And things are working out great. And I love my wife now dearly. And something, you know, she doesn't listen to this show very much, so I can say,
thank God. You better pray to God she doesn't change her behavior for today. You'll really be in trouble.
It reminds me a lot of this this woman earlier on.
Do you think your wife... What if your wife heard you say this today? What would happen?
She'd get a little angry at me, but she's still happy that we're together.
All right, so she's a big enough person to not get hung up on the past. She understands you were a kid and you were in love. But, you know, first love, was that your first real romantic love?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was.
Well, there's nothing to compare to first anythings. I remember I wrote a poem called First Island. And it was about being at sea for 10 straight days in the South Pacific. I left Los Angeles on a big ship, and we went out to sea. The boat was 10 days at sea. 10 days, 10 days, 10 days, which is a long time. And we got into the Marquesan Islands, and one dawn, it was 4:30 in the morning, I woke up and I was walking the deck, and I smelled fresh water coming from an island. I knew we were near an island before I sighted it, because you could smell the fresh water in the trees. And I wrote a poem on the deck. I got to dig it up somewhere. I won't find it today. And it was called Firsts. First Island, First Love, First Child. You know what I'm saying? First everything is very unique. And we all, as we get mature, realize you can't have the first thing forever, right?
That's true. That's true. And it's one of my most cherished memories as
well. Well, it's like innocence lost. You know what I'm saying? Innocence lost. So I think that's beautiful. Do you think that my going in this direction today is interesting or boring or what?
Yes, yeah, the way things are going lately with all the stuff that is on all the media, it just beats you down every day, and it's hard to take for more than a week or two at a time.
It is. It's why I can't focus on the convention with every burp coming out of a Trump. I can't do it.
Really, and I do scan all the outlets just to check and see who says what, you know, every morning.
All right, right, so I'm doing something different. All right, my friend, I am going to send you Teddy and me. Today's a lovely day for the dog book. That's all. Stay on the line. If you want to call in and share with America the best summer memory you have or the worst summer memory, just for a while, we have some other good ones. I want to play a little song. Clyde McFadden, Treasure of Love, is a beautiful doo-wop song from the old days, Treasure of Love by Clyde McFadden. Where's the love in America? Every movie is filled with hate and violent pornography. There's no movie about love anymore. Think about this. Think about what Harvey Weinstein, that perverted sack of garbage, has done to this country. Sorry, Harvey, that's what I think of you. I think that you're one of the worst people in the history of the cinema. One of the worst and most vile people has ever crawled out of the swamps of Queens. You should have stayed there in the Mayfair Theater with a raincoat. Look at the garbage these people have produced in this country, and look at the results. I'm glad he's going broke. I read that his company's not doing well. God, what if he has to take a job and he comes to me, he's become my producer? No, I'm joking. No one's looking for a job with me. Okay. But look at where's the love in the movies? If someone put out a movie about love, it wouldn't sell. If it's only about murder, mayhem, gangs, tattoos, killing, perversion, even the lovemaking is all fake and wrong. Remember, all the idiots in Hollywood are so sick. Every scene with a man or woman, he's pushing her up against a brick wall with a fan going behind her. Remember that period in the 80s or 90s? Who came up with that one? Who makes love against a brick wall with a big fan going? That went on for 10 straight years. Every scene in every movie. For 10 years before that, all the anti-gun people, every movie had a pistol in their hand on the poster of one of the stars. Leon DiCaprio, gun. Every one of the anti-gunners, gun. So now, where are we in this country? Can anyone fall in love with the hatred and the anger? The kids still, they must still. You see, the thing is, I think the young still meet each other maybe some. I don't know, do they? Can they still find someone at 16, 17 and their heart beats, they can't sleep? They can't focus, their hands shake. Is that a human emotion, or is that a symptom of the 1960s and 50s that disappeared? Does that exist? Is that a human thing? Because I read years ago when I was studying the issue of love, that love is actually a recent invention in human social history. I don't know who wrote it, probably some miserable human being. But it was an interesting observation that romantic love as we know it never existed until the period of the Renaissance, when it started to be written about, this flowery romantic stuff. Before that, it was like caveman stuff. You know, me man, you woman, those children, there's dog. That was it. And you like foraged, killed things, led a miserable, horrible life in a cave or a hut, and then you died. That went on for millennia. And then along came Shakespeare and the Romantic writers, and then they started to talk about the glories of love, and then, I don't know, is it an invention? I don't think it's an invention, but does it still exist is the question. It certainly is. The human being is certainly capable of love, true love. But hey, can I tell you this, a very important thing for you to remember? I've done this only a few times. We are limited by our language. Remember I taught you this lesson many, many decades, how many years is this, 15 years ago? The English language limits our discussion of certain things, and love is one of them, because we have only one verb for love. So, I love my wife. I love my dog. God, I love this pizza. Man, I love my radio show. God, I love how these socks feel. It's the same verb. It's pretty limiting. In Latin, there are 16 verbs for love. So, the Italians, well known for their, let us say, involvement in this sphere of life, at least they used to be. Today, I don't know what they do. I don't know if they even love it. You know what the birth rate is in Italy? Like 0-1? I'm talking about Italians, not the Islams that are coming in or the others. But the thing is, 16 verbs for love, you know. I love my mother, one verb. I love my wife, two verbs. I love my pasta, three verbs. All different verbs. So what does that mean? There's different modalities of emotion. We're stuck. So we can't differentiate between a taco and a girlfriend in America. That's the problem here. Look, where is 45 minutes into the show and I've only said Trump once? Okay, let's give him the red meat. The peanut gallery needs to hear the Cruz boo thing. Let's hear Cruz boo 01.
I appreciate the enthusiasm of the New York delegation. We will unite the party, we will unite the country by standing together for shared values, by standing for liberty. God bless each and every one of you, and God bless the United States of America.
The hell are you to bless anyone, you creep? What can you lost? See, you see, he has no character. He always had that tinny voice to him. You always knew he was a sneak, a shiv job. He always looked like a backstabbing, like, villain. He always did. Look what he just did. They let him on the stage, and he thinks he stabbed Donald in the back. Well, I guess there goes the Attorney General's job, I guess. That's up in the air. I guess the only thing that Donald Trump could give him a job as would be ambassador to ISIS. That would be a heck of a call if Trump becomes president. He wants to really stick it in him. He says, hey! Lion Ted, how are you? This is the Donald. Listen, we got an opening. Ambassadorship. Really? Yeah. Big one. Big one. It's in Raqqa. We're going to send you to Raqqa with no bodyguards like in Benghazi. Would you like that job? You could leave immediately with Heidi. And I don't think he'll offer him that. Okay, let's go to WJ. Linda, welcome to the Savage Now. Hey, I'm having fun. What's wrong with me? Linda, what's your memory that you're thinking of today in this summer day?
I have a memory, and then I also have an example of love that still exists today. My son is 25. He's been with his girlfriend 7 years next week. They met this second semester of college, and they've always exhibited the kind of love that I had for my husband. We were also together for 7 years before we got married.
Is that your best memory from the summer? Or what's your worst memory?
They write each other love notes. They give each other vows.
I heard that already. What's your worst memory?
Worst memory is about 20 years ago. I was in northern Michigan on our way to Duck Lake, very small lake in the top of the lower peninsula, driving down a dirt road in our Dodge Caravan. My kids were 6 and 9 in the back seat. And I'm trying to find the road that leads to the cottage, and all of a sudden I realize that I ran over something quite large.
Oh, God.
In the rearview mirror and realize it was a very large box turtle.
And that sticks with you to this day that you ran over a turtle?
A very, very
That's
large
heartbreaking. Turtle. Terrible. All right, don't break your heart over it. It happened. It's over. It's dead. Worry better about what ISIS did. They just cut the head off a little boy. Take a look at that video. And he was a Palestinian boy. And by the way, it wasn't even ISIS. It was Obama's Free Syrian rebels who he has funded with the CIA, given them weapons. They just cut the head off a boy. Remember we told you? We called him Obama's moderate terrorist. Remember that? Remember Obama was funding the rebels in Syria, the good Syrians? There are no good Syrians in the rebel camps. They're all ISIS or Al-Qaeda. So we gave them weapons. They captured a little village. They took a little boy. He couldn't have been more than six. There's a video of it. A Palestinian from a camp, no less. They said he was a spy, and they cut his head off. These are our rebels. This is what the Democrat Party came up with. You hear? So that's what's going on. You call it, you're talking about man's inhumanity to man. Forget about a turtle soup. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. Well, we're back again on the Savage Nation, taking your calls on what's your greatest summer memory, what's your worst, and of course, everyone politically oriented is only mumbling about Cruz saying, vote your conscience, and the audience breaking into jeers. So, do you want me to play that again? We have it, don't we, if we have to do that one? We'll play it in the next hour. I mean, it's very well known. Everyone's playing it. Big deal. How much can you milk that for? Huh? Palin says, Cruz Trump snub, career ending. She would know something about that. She'd know an awful lot about career ending, I'll tell you that. Here's another headline. Cop deaths double in 2016 amid Obama's anti-cop rhetoric. Thank you, Barack. Physicians predict Brexit from Medicare. I'm not interested. No kidding. What doctor would stay with Medicare, with socialized medicine? What guy would go to school, a woman, for all those years and come out and make less than God knows what, a laborer? That's what they want. You know, when I grew up, I was told that doctors in the Soviet Union made less than a teacher, and I didn't understand it. It was puzzling because doctors were always at the top of the social heap when I was a kid. Teachers were kind of an entry-level job. I didn't understand how the Soviet Union would pay so little to doctors. Well, here I am living in the Soviet Union. They want doctors to earn less than a teacher that comes here from Afghanistan. It's unbelievable to me. Muslim is a second language. This is a Savage Nation. We'll continue with our discussion of, will Trump offer Cruz an ambassadorship once he becomes president, and will it be to Raqqa or to another wonderful location where ISIS predominates? All this and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
If you love our country and love your children as much as I know that you do, stand and speak and vote your conscience. Vote for candidates up and down the ticket who you trust to defend our freedom and to be faithful to the Constitution.
Finish. Fartik, gone. Kaput, done. All that's left now is with the Cruz bots and a book tour. The True Believers. He's finished. He tried to stab Trump in the back. He shows he had no character from the get-go. This is not voting your conscience. This is a sour grapes backstabber. Never should have been on the platform. So there's rumors going around that Trump read the speech and knew it and put him up there knowing it would. So it shows Trump is smarter than you think. That he let the weasel talk. So here's a headline I'm supposed to get excited over. Rupert Murdoch says Ailes steps down from Fox News. Stays on as consultant to 21st Century Fox until 2018. Does anyone know who Roger Ailes is, outside of insiders in the media? No one knows him. Some fat guy who looks like Alfred Hitchcock, who ran Fox News very well. But no one, why is that a news story? This is the problem with the media today. The media is so in love with itself that they think the whole world cares about the media. No one knows Rupert Murdoch. They heard of him. They never met him. They see him. He marches around with a leftover from a rock and roll star's ex-wife 8 wives ago that no one would look at. He married her. Shows you the vision goes as you get older. You don't even know what you're marrying. That should help me get onto Fox News. You know, one thing about my show is I really make new friends every day. That's the beauty of the show. Every day I get on this microphone, I make brand new friends all across the media landscape. I don't care about Roger Ailes. I never met him. He was a monster to me. He banned me from Fox. Why should I care about Roger Ailes? What, is he such a great guy? He put me on a blacklist like England did? He put me on a blacklist like McCarthy did to the liberals, supposedly? So I'm supposed to love Roger Ailes? I don't give a damn about Roger Ailes. As far as the molestation goes, what do I know? If Megyn Kelly said he did it, it means he didn't. That's all I can tell you. You hear what her whole complaint was? He hugged her inappropriately. You hear where it's come down to? 2 weeks ago, she said he didn't. Now, all of a sudden, she saw which way the wind was blowing with the two stooges that are running Fox News. All of a sudden, she said he molested her or whatever. Crazy. I don't care about Roger Ailes. I don't know him. I could care less about him. Another media giant way beyond what he should have in power because of there's no anti-monopoly laws in this country. You and I both know that monopoly is practiced in over every major business in this country. You and I both know Google should be broken up under anti-monopoly laws. You and I both know Facebook is far too big. It's crushed all competition. That if there was a fair government, they'd break Facebook up like they broke up Standard Oil. Facebook today is larger than Standard Oil was when it was broken up at the turn of the 19th century. Do you know that? You don't know anything about that. Teddy Roosevelt ran as an antitrust candidate. He said companies like Standard Oil have become too big, owned by the Rockefellers. And he promised that if he became president, it was called bust the trust. He'd break up Standard Oil, and he did. Of course, they outsmarted him by setting up little Standard Oils in every state. It was still owned by the same Rockefeller family. But nevertheless, we have huge conglomerates right now that are crushing competition. And one of them, in my opinion, is News Corporation. You know that there used to be a law in America that prohibited one man from controlling television in one market and radio in that market and publishing in that market and magazines in that market. Whatever happened to those days? Do you think bigger is better? Do you think that more and more power and fewer hands is good for America? In essence, what you're creating is small Soviet-style fiefdoms in the corporate world. No one's ever said that before. You never heard those words before. You never read those words before. You haven't seen those words before because I just created them for you. That's why you listen to the show. These giant conglomerates are like little Soviet states within the international community. They don't stand for America. Why do you think the country is falling apart? You can blame liberals all you want. But I'll tell you something. The real problem is with the corporate giants who have no allegiance to any nation. No allegiance whatsoever to this nation or any other. They have an allegiance only to their own bank account and their own pocketbook. And I think that the trust needs to be broken up. Would Trump do that? I don't think in a million years, personally. I don't see that as one of his platforms. I have the whole platform. Taxes, Glass-Steagall was in my book, government pensions limit, Wall Street regulation. That's good. Maybe there will be an antitrust movement with Trump. You never can tell. You never can tell what Trump's people might do once they get in power. They might just break up Facebook. They might just break up Google. They might just break up Microsoft. They might just break up News Corporation, whatever they're calling themselves today, for being too much of a conglomerate, too much power in one hand. That's all. So that's my answer to the story. Now let's go back to what I really want to talk about. I'm reacting now to the thing here. Stays on as consultant. Great. How is that going to affect my life that this fat guy is going to stay on as a consultant to Rupert Murdoch until 2018? Does it matter to you whether it's Roger Ailes or Chaim Yankel who's running Fox News? So they brought in some guy, Chaim Yankel's running Fox News. Would it change anything? You still have the plastic women and the plastic men and the leprechaun. Rock and Roll Friday. Let's have some love songs on the show. No Metallica, no Short of Straw, no Fats Domino. I'm looking through my list of doo-wop. I'm going to make believe I'm going to do a doo-wop show. And I'm doing love today. I love songs. Frankie Lyman's a little too peppy for me. And he was a junkie behind the scenes anyway. That's why he was so peppy. I want you to be my girl. Then put the needle in the arm at night. Then crashed on the floor in the morning, vomiting on himself. Like, how about, I don't know, they're too sappy. The Moon Glows, Secret Love, nah. Dedicated to the One I Love by the Shirelles, don't want it. I'm looking through the list of doo-wop here. guided missiles by the cufflinks. No, we belong together by Robert. Okay, Robert and Johnny, we belong together. Let's play a little doo-wop. We belong together. Real sappy. Go ahead. Let's hear that one. I want to hear that one. Go already. Hit it already. Hit the button to, because I just picked it. No one had it. Because I didn't have it. I'm manicky right now. Manicky from the whole thing. Like, but they're not hitting the button fast because I'm picking it out of the air. Just bash Cruz for the next 2 hours. For the next 2 hours. Getting all of the Cruz acolytes completely angry. Are there any, there's still people out there who love Cruz. It's like, save your Confederate money, the South will rise again. These people, like, they fought for the South and the Civil War has been over, and they're still running around with Civil War, with, like, Southern money that no one will take anymore. They're running around with, like, Cruz coins. You heard of Bitcoins? They're like Cruz coins that nobody wants to take anymore. Can I give you a Cruz coin? No, thank you. He lost. By the way, have you heard that Trump, when he becomes president, has offered Cruz an ambassadorship? Really? Where? No kidding. Yeah, to Raqqa. That's my best line of the day, by the way. People love it on Facebook. All right. Some people get my sense of humor. Some don't. If you don't have a good sense of humor, do me a favor. Go listen to NPR. Listen to some sad menopausal Vivaldi music. See if I care. Da 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 da. Yeah, government radio. Every minute, how great Hillary is. You know, it's gotten so bad. The propaganda has gotten so comedic bad, that the other night Laura Ingraham spoke. Was it last night? It seems like a year ago already. She did a great job, by the way. She's a friend of mine. I haven't spoken with her in months. Forever loyal to Laura. She's a great person. She gave a very dignified speech. Do you know what the rats had the nerve to do? How desperate they are? They showed a picture of her waving goodbye to the crowd with her right arm up. They said, did Laura Ingraham give a Nazi salute? This is the best they can do? This is what the left wing has become in America? This is what they've always been. They're nothing more than chicken necks in the bottom of a chicken pot. And we pay attention to them. All right, let's go to the memories. It better be good or I'm changing the whole subject here on the Savage Nation. Remember the topic now, because it's summer and I need a vacation. I'm not going to go next week because of the Demon Cats, and I can't wait for that, for the Ringling Brothers show next week. I can't believe what they're going to have up there. If they start to sing together, then I'm not watching. The worst thing to see are the old women in the Democrat Party holding hands and moving their fat selves back and forth, singing together some kind of multicultural song. From Kenya. That's what we're liable to hear next week. Joseph on WABC, let's hear your best and worst memories. You are a break-it-or-make-it caller. The show, the future of this show today hinges on your answer. Let's see how good it is.
Dr. Savage, I'm Joseph from Staten Island. I met a girl about 3-4 years ago. She was a nice woman. And then I got married. And about 3-4 months later, came home from work. She was sleeping with the best man.
Who was the best man? Your friend?
It was a friend of my childhood friend.
No, wait a minute. Let's start again. This has happened when you were a kid, or this just happened?
No, what happened about 5-6 years ago.
You're making it up just to be on the radio, right?
Get married. I want grandchildren. I said, I'm 53. Who wants kids now?
But is this real, or you just want to be on the radio? Come on, is this a real story?
I got better things to do. I could watch the RNC.
No answer, like, again, talking to myself. Joseph, hello, can you hear me at all?
I'm sorry, yes.
Is this a real story, or you made it up just for the radio?
I don't lie, Doc. I don't lie.
Well, how would I know?
Well, I'm telling you, because she was a daughter from Woodwicks on 18th Avenue. Jewish.
Wait, where do you live in Staten Island? Let me break this down a bit. Do you live in the Italian neighborhood?
Yes, sir. I live on Highland Boulevard in Tysons.
All right, so we assume you're a stand-up kind of guy. You don't really need to get on the radio just to get your rocks off.
No.
So this really happened? At your age, you meet a woman, and she winds up sleeping with your friend?
She slept with my best friend all my life, pretty much. His name is...
So what's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story, we broke up, we got divorced, and I'm with a mother now. No, I'm joking. It's just...
No, you didn't marry her, though, right?
We were married for 3-4 months. That's what I don't
know. Oh. Late in life, you were pushed to get married by your family because you're an Italian guy in that area alone without, they figured you were a Finoke, right?
Right. Yes.
So in order to save face, you got married and you picked the wrong one, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I waited. They pushed me so much, I said, yeah, and I picked. I don't know what I picked. It was the worst of the crop. But
all right, so let me ask you. You caught them in bed? How did you find out they were sleeping together?
The neighbor told me. She said, you know, the UPS. I said, the only one that works for UPS is Dominic. And
yeah.
And behold, they waited, and they caught them. And when I came home, there was a war. I mean, the girl was from Ludwig's on 18th Avenue from Museum.
Did you beat him up, or what'd you do?
No. I make a phone call, and I keep driving.
Oh, got it. So that's what I want to get to here, how real this is.
No, Doc, believe me.
Where is he now? He's sleeping with the fishes? Where is he?
I think he's stuffing the fish, to be honest with you. But
hold on. I'm finally having a good time that I don't have to say the word Trump or Cruz for 10 minutes. Okay. I want you to stay in the line because you're making the show now. I'll be right back to hear the worst news. That's his best news, by the way. When do you hear the worst?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. I got to jump right back. I'm not going to talk about Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes. I could care less. Joseph on WABC. Joseph, you met her. You got married. Then she slept with your best man. You divorced her. What? You still talk to the guy?
No. Are you kidding? For what?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what goes on in your community.
Now I know we got the worst of the deal.
Who did? He did?
My friend, yeah.
Oh, in other words, he's not been seen around the neighborhood since?
Right, exactly. I don't have time to drop dead over people. You know what? This world is all messed up. But I'll tell you the worst thing that happened to me, that it cost me $1,100. If you want to hear.
What already? What?
I'm sorry. I went with this girl. We went up to the beautiful Mount Airy Lodge. It's called the Champagne Tower thing. And I like the heavy girls, you know, like Governor Christie with a brown wig, you know. And she slipped going into the Champagne Tower. The water went cascading over. Flooded the whole bed and rug. Now this is just a date on
So you had to pick up the damage tab.
No, but wait a minute. So yeah, well here's what happened. She says I never been so humiliated. I said neither have I. I almost drowned. Next time I wear a life jacket. What happens is going home, we're on the checkout and they hit me up with $1,100 bill. I said what's this for? Well the bed and the rug, you know they were.
I tell you, and Joseph, the more I listen to you, I don't know whether you are a Pinocchio or a Finocchio. I don't know what's going on here.
Well, I tell you, I'm not a Pinocchio and I'm not a Pinocchio, but if I was a Finocchio, I wouldn't mind being with Pinocchio. You know what I mean?
Oh, you're pretty good.
No.
So do you like fennel sausages in reality?
I would never lie to you. You're a dynamite guy. And I talk to you.
But, do you like fennel sausages or garlic sausages?
Well, people told me I like sausage in the can, but I don't like them because there's a lot of nitrates.
Oh, God, this is getting a little lewd now. You actually mean those little sausages, those horrible canned sausages? They're poison. All right, we'll be back to pick up all the politics and all the voodoo on the Savage Nation. So, all right, the big news is that, I don't know why it's big news to anyone outside the news business. Ailes steps down from Fox News. Nobody cares. Murdoch and Son to address newsroom this hour about changes. Big deal. How is that going to change your life? Robert, do you care about this? Jim, do you really care about it? I mean, what's the big deal? I never met them. I wish them luck. I don't care. I think the company's too big. I think that we need an antitrust legislation in America when Trump becomes president. Well, for that matter, God forbid, if Hillary becomes president, it's never going to happen because she's got to break up her supporters at Google. She's got to break up Facebook. They're beyond the size of most countries in power and income. And they're crushing all competition. You know, so what do I really care about whether it's Ailes or someone else there? What's the difference to me? They put out a good product. They put out a nice news story. Good. All right. Fine. And now what? Why is it my story? Now we got the Cruz thing. I did it already. He said, vote your conscience, and everyone went crazy because he stabbed Trump in the back. Boom. Now let's move on. So what else is in the move? Oh, here's a news story I missed before. I remember the story about Melania Trump's speech, and they made a big deal, a little overlap. They turned it into, like, Hitler already and Mussolini combined. They turned it into a bigger story than the invasion of Czechoslovakia. Certainly made it bigger than Benghazi. They made it bigger than Egypt melting down. They made it bigger than Libya melting down. They made it bigger than Syria melting down under Hillary. So that little story, you know what came up? A little tiny thing, but it's a big deal. Melania Trump's speechwriter is a registered Democrat. You hear this? Meredith McIver, a longtime writer for the Trump Organization, admitted that she had helped Melania compose the speech she delivered at the GOP convention. Can you believe this? Yeah, but it was generic terminology, like Hallmark card stuff, like we can be great again together. Oh, God. That's what's going on with the world burning. But anyway, she's a registered Democrat, I thought you should know. L.A. Times suggests military coup against President Trump. They don't mean President Obama, don't they? Okay. Cruz gets booed after he declines to endorse Trump. That we covered already. The Texas firebrand urges Republicans to vote their conscience in primetime address. All right, big deal. Here's another little headline for you. Global warming expedition stopped in its tracks by Arctic sea ice from the Daily Caller. That's a nice one. A group of adventurers, sailors, pilots, and climate scientists that recently started a journey around the North Pole in an effort to show the lack of ice have been blocked from further travels by ice. You know, God has a way of slapping fools in the face, I got to tell you. They're currently stuck in Murmansk, Russia, because there is too much ice blocking. There's too much ice blocking the Northeast Passage, the team said. Didn't exist in summer months, according to real climate science. The current Arctic temperatures, despite alarmist claims of the Arctic being hotter than ever, is actually below normal. God, what is it going to take for the average drug addict to accept this? Nothing. Mind is made up. I always wanted to go to Murmansk. I remember like World War II movies of like the ships and ice. The Passage and the submarines, the wolf packs. I never wanted to go there. I you know, one of the areas that I always wanted to go to was Lapland. As a kid, remember when you were a kid, weird things you'd get locked into? One of my things, I got locked into Laplanders and the moose, and that they lived in these urts made of, like, moose hide. I don't know what it was. You know, it's funny. Why do kids get locked onto certain ideas? Is it because ancestrally they were a Laplander? In some previous life with him. Like, why are you fascinated with, like, Lapland? As a 5-year-old, 6-year-old. You saw a book? Who knows? But I was always intrigued with the lichen. That they lived, like, up on the slopes, and there was lichen. And then years later, when I got, like, toy trains. Remember, does anyone play with toy trains anymore? I don't know if kids can even do that today. If they know how to throw a switch to make a train go around. If it's not digital toy trains, I don't think they could do it. I had actual American Flyer, which I didn't like because they were 3-track. Then there were Lionel had 2, you know, 2-track, which was more authentic. I liked those. I remember lying on the rug to this day and make the train come at my eye to make it look like... Kids are smart. In other words, I wanted a little train to look like a real big train, so I'd lay on the rug and have it come at my face. Is that some kind of disease? Is there a doctor in the audience? Oh, that proves definitely that he's definitely deranged. Oh, yeah, he was suicidal even at 5. No, I wanted to make the train look bigger, so I laid on the rug, moron. And when I made the thing go around by throwing the electromagnetic transformer, it would blow smoke because you had to drop a pellet into it. It was amazing how it looked like a real train to me with the wheels, because I always like going on trains to visit relatives in Pennsylvania. I even wrote about it in a book called Train Tracks. Some of my best memories are train rides. By the way, you talk about my memories. I remember those train rides, the Chattanooga Choo Choo. That's a nice song to play right now, but I didn't tell the guys to get it. Da-da-da-da-da. I think that was done by a great orchestra in the 1940s before I was born. Get the Chattanooga Choo Choo and I get set up for this one, because I'd rather talk about this than Roger Ailes, you know, stomach size. I'm not interested what size pants he wears. Now, I've got everything about Roger Ailes that I never wanted to know. I don't care. I hope Fox News thrives. They're the only thing we have, but I don't care whether Ailes is in the front or the back. I wish the girls would wear a little more demure outfits. It's disgusting. It's not that I care about the striptease. Let me listen to what they're saying instead of looking at their legs and their shoes. Is that what Ailes? This is Ailes' greatest thing, is he brought half-nude girls to news, and the news took off. If you put Wolf Blitzer in a pair of shorts, the ratings might go up, just to laugh at him. If you put Wolf Blitzer and you saw his white legs with the hair, with the knock knees, people would tune in just to laugh at the guy. I couldn't say the same for Rachel Maddow. I think that Wolf Blitzer in a short skirt would bring in more ratings than Rachel Maddow, personally. But it's definitely got something to do with the ratings over there, was the half-striptease show. I wish them luck. I hope they do well. So that's what I want to talk about. I'd rather talk about train tracks, train rides, summer memories, your best memory, your worst memory. And the guy from Staten Island wins the prize. The 50-year-old Italian from the Fennel neighborhood said that he was being pushed to get married in his 50s, if you missed it. And he finally got married, and 3 months later, she slept with his best man. That's, even if he made the story up, it's not bad for radio for the day. Now, I want to go back to something I led to. Do you have Chattanooga Choo Choo again? And I'm going to go into this for a reason, to show you America in that era. A lot of people like when I wax nostalgic and tell you about America in another time. I haven't been on a train in years. I actually would like to go away after the Democratic Convention on a train, but I won't do it. I'll fantasize about it, but 18 times before I go, I won't go. I'll plan it. I'll buy the tickets. I'll get ready. I'll pack the bag. Then I'll get cold feet and cancel it and get my money back, because I will have done the trip 18 times in my head already. I don't know. Maybe the High Sierra. I'll drive up there. It's faster. 4 hours. I'm there. Boom. What do you need a train for? You ever add up how long it takes to go anywhere by a public conveyance? Like last night, I wanted to go into the city after the show. I was broadcasting from one of my remote studios. I'm a member of a certain club that finally had me as member. I figured they have a great dining room. It's an old 1890 club. I like big old dining rooms that are kind of like run down, but everything's classy. No one's allowed to wear shorts. You can't wear like ripped like jeans. So once in a while, I like to go in there like a touch of a different, you know. All right, you know, I was there at 30 minutes, went in. The problem was, instead of going to my normal haunts in North Beach or a Greasy Spoon in Chinatown, I wanted to go to a classy dining room, which it was very nice. It was like a no one in there. It was like seats 100. There was one table of 7 and one table of 4. It was unbelievable. It was like I don't know how they keep this thing going. It was beautiful serving. So I have a steak twice a year, and I didn't want to have any fish because I'm reacting. I don't know, what is it, the fish now or me? I'm reacting to all seafood. Maybe they're doctoring it up. I don't know what it is. I can't blame the progressives for this. But something's going on with fish now. Maybe, you know, I know we're going to get now the calls. It's to do with the stuff, the Fukushima. That's what I'm going to get next. I don't think it was Fukushima. I'm reacting to all seafood. So what am I left with? I'm not a vegetarian. I'm going to talk about my father's diet, meat and potatoes. Killed everybody in the family. But I have no choice at this point. I got to eat something. All right, so I look at the menu. I order a steak. How do you like it? I said, no pink. She says, medium, whatever you call it, just no blood and no pink. Then I had to negotiate the potatoes, no butter. About an hour later, the steak comes out. Oh, and I said, no salt and pepper. I even went so far as to say I have a little bit of a skin thing right now. No salt and pepper. The steak comes out. Not only did it have pepper on it, but it was visibly covered in white peppercorns. I looked at it. I said, this cannot be possible. But, you know, now this is a conundrum. It's a world-class problem, because if you ever say to a waiter, I ask for no pepper, and they say, I'll take it back, they take the whole plate. They take the potatoes, they take the vegetable, and they take the thing you... I said, no, I grabbed the hand, leave it here. Because what? Can't they separate the item they cooked wrong and take that and leave the potato and the vegetable, right? No, they punish you by taking the entire plate, they remove the bread, they take away the water, they remove the cutlery, and they make you wait another 30 minutes. I said, no, leave it. So that was that. I had to scrape the peppercorns off it, do the best I can. But I don't, what are you going to complain about it? With people starving and having their heads cut off. I'm giving you a little example of what goes on in life at all levels, right? So what I'm getting at is nothing. I just wanted to tell you that story because I felt like doing it. And now let's have, do we have any Glenn Miller? I want to hear a couple of songs on the best summer, worst summer. So let's go to, while you're picking up a piece of Glenn Miller, I don't know what he did, a train song. That UFO song was good. I mean, USO. Are any of them still alive? Is that the Andrews Sisters? I imagine them with, like, block high heels. Not like the pointy high heels of today, like witch shoes or dominatrix high heels. In those days, women wore high heels, but they had a little, like, a stub, a square stub on them, so the woman didn't break her ankle. But today, the high heels that they make today are made only for Roger Ailes showgirls. They're only, like, show shoes. When people don't want to watch the news, they look at the shoe going up and down. Why do all those women sit on the set of the Big Five there, whatever it's called, and one person talks and the other shake their shoe up and down? They get paid for that. It's a good job. I have to sing my heart out for 3 straight hours and make sense. They sit in a mover shoe. They do the hair in the morning like Prell. And the hair, and that's in the shoe, and that's it. They get paid, what, $6 million a year? One of those girls make, they're way overpaid. Whoever takes over Fox News, let me tell you something, they got nowhere to go. Cut their salaries. That's the first thing I would do. I loved, they were gonna go on strike. O'Reilly was leaving, Hannity was leaving, Scarface was leaving, they're all going. Where? Who was gonna hire them? Nobody. Who's gonna hire them? CNN wasn't gonna hire them. MSNBC's not gonna hire them. So there was nowhere for them to go. They were going to walk out. I love that one. That boycott idea lasted for 4 minutes. Anyway, but you got to read through all of this stuff. How did Murdoch do this? How did this guy start with a couple of newspapers in Australia and take over the entire press and the entire world? And how do they allow it? Why is there no antitrust legislation? Can someone raise, now I'm going to get serious and angry in a minute. How is that Mark Zuckerberg is allowed to crush everybody in the social networking world? Already smart, and he did it. I'm sorry, why do you think there is antitrust legislation? Raise your hand if you know why. It was to prevent the takeover of an entire industry by one person. No matter how smart they are, you're not supposed to have monopolies in America. That's what keeps capitalism alive. But when you have monopoly capitalism, it's not capitalism anymore. And that's why we need anti-monopoly, we need antitrust legislation. We got to break up the big companies. We got to give other people a chance. My opinion, I'll be right back. Call on that one.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Think Larry David would invest any of his billions in Obama bonds if he adequately fund his philosophy? No one even knows who Larry David is. He's about as obscure as Roger Ailes. Let me hear the music for a minute. Why are you not arguing with me over the antitrust thing I brought? Oh, here's one. Jonathan on WABC, you disagree with me on the antitrust legislation?
Yes, Dr. Savage. And what I think is that you have large companies that, as they get bigger and bigger, they turn into bureaucracies within themselves. And you have people just splintering off and becoming, being entrepreneurial.
Okay, so let me take you through this step by step. Why do you think antitrust legislation was created to begin with?
I understand why there was people dominating certain industries, but I think overall.
Right. So wait, let's go back to when the oil business first originated. Rockefeller was a genius. He dominated the entire oil industry. You wouldn't argue that that's good for one man to control the entire oil industry, would you?
No, that's correct.
Right. Why? Now, why? Ask yourself why. Why don't you want one person controlling an entire industry? Because they can fix prices, because nobody can compete with them. And the essence of capitalism is healthy competition. So that's why antitrust legislation was set up, because there are people who are so smart that they can create monopolies, like Zuckerberg, like Bill Gates, like all the folks who run monopolies, is what I'm saying. And that's why government has to step in with antitrust legislation and give smaller companies a chance. I don't see how that is something that you can argue with.
You don't see the government being complicit, using the regulation, working with these people to, because basically you see large mergers and acquisitions where they're going to.
My friend, the government is preventing anti-monopoly legislation from breaking up Facebook and Google, because they give him tons of money and publicity. No, this is the exact opposite of what you're saying. The Democrat socialist regime is preventing an antitrust action against them because they don't care about the monopoly because they're good to the government.
I agree with you there, but I just feel like...
I want you to think this through. I know a lot about this. I wrote about it in Government Zero. I write about it in Scorched Earth, which is now listed on my Facebook and on michaelsavage.com. You can pre-order on Amazon. One of the key elements of any sane society is preventing monopolies from originating. I learned that in high school. Nothing has changed. This is the Savage Nation. Back in a minute. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's so boring, it's beyond belief. Yes, yes, I passed the loyalty oath. Yes, I bashed Cruz. Check that. Yes, I will watch Trump speak tonight. Check that. But I don't want to talk about it. What's to talk about? You heard it already. So I've been talking about the fact that it's summer and most normal people are on vacation or about to go on vacation or would like to go on vacation. And all I asked you was, what's your greatest summer memory? What's your worst summer memory? We've had some great calls. That's all. What's wrong with that for a radio show? What, every radio show has to be bring the house down with anger and hatred and this and that? It doesn't work that way. Now, I was going to play more Yuri Bezmenov, but I'll wait for tomorrow on the subversion of the United States. Or I'll do it during next week's the Democratic Convention, because that's the party of subversion. Now, you talk about subversion. Well, there's a big story that Roger Ailes has stepped down. He's going to be a consultant. All right, fine. So what does this mean? It means just what it looks like it means. It means there's a changing of the guard. It means the Young Turks have taken over. It means liberals are now going to be running Fox News. The liberals are the sons of Mr. Murdoch. Everyone knows that in the business. They also own the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, HarperCollins. They own a lot of stuff. So you read a headline just now. I'll give you an example of which way the Post has been going anyway. I've been noticing it's shift to the left. Here's a headline story. Male escorts are making crazy money at the RNC. So they show a human body with abs with the names Trump, Pence on it, Kasich, and Cruz, and money coming at it with an elephant's nose. And he's supposed to read that male prostitutes contacted by the New York Post said business is booming, and most of the attendees are married men and clamoring for their services. Now, I don't believe the story. This is a smear job put out by the New York Post to make you say, oh, look at that, all the Republicans are really closet gays. Look at that, they're all liars, look at that. Now, you see what I mean by tabloid press? Why would I believe this story? Why did it suddenly come up? And then at the bottom it says women are not doing well. Females for Hire said they're making much less money than normal. So why would this story come out? Because the newspaper has changed to a liberal newspaper that's trying to smear the Republicans and Trump in particular. That's it. So that's the New York Post today. And that's why I thought it would be just as well to go to this topic I asked earlier, which was the best summer story in the worst. And again, I have to repeat that I have inside information that I can announce again on this show, that when Trump becomes president, he will offer Ted Cruz an ambassadorship, and it will be to Raqqa. Nicholas on WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your best summer story?
Well, it was an honor to hold all this time because I think I have a pretty good story for you, Dr. Savage. In 1963, before the Beatles, before the assassinations and Vietnam and everything, I consider it to be the last great summer, I nailed a job down at the Jersey Shore. I was in between freshman and sophomore years in Montclair State University. And I got a job at a club, a supper club in Spring Lake Heights, if you know the area. Excuse me. And I got a job working the spotlights in a supper club. And one of our people was Tony Bennett. And, of course, I had heard of him from the time I was a little kid. He had his first hits when I was still in elementary.
So you were the spotlight guy for Tony Bennett. Was he a nice guy?
Oh, he was just unbelievable. And that's why he's still going strong at 90.
90. I heard that Billy Joel and Tony Bennett rocked out for his 90th birthday at Madison Square Garden on Wednesday night.
His birthday comes August 3rd. But after a couple of nights, I didn't meet him until one day we used to go in about 4 or 5 o'clock to get ready for the
show. How does this guy at 90 get up in Madison Square Garden and sing? It just shows you the stamina these guys have.
He's amazing.
Is Tony Bennett really Italian?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, what's his real name? Benedetto?
Yeah, Di Benedetto. Yeah, yep.
I'm guessing it had to be Benedetto.
I sat next to him one time at the a couple of
nights. You think he eats fennel sausage?
I don't know about that.
That goes back to an earlier caller. It's an in-joke by now. All right, thank you. So you enjoyed the guy. That's a good story. Here's a worse story coming up. Here's a worst one. You wanted stories for the summer? This is killing people who are into politics. They're going crazy. All they want to do is either support Trump or bash Cruz or the vice versa. That's all they want now for three days straight. Cruz is great. He's a man of principle. I'm proud of him. I'm really proud that he stood by his principles to Cruz as a Benedict Arnold. Okay, you got the whole picture. That's all. WDRC, Robert, what's your summer story? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Doctor. Well, my worst time was I was on a trial. I was a foreman of a trial. I sent a man to death row.
That was your worst summer?
It actually was in May, so it was a little before summer.
What are you depressed that you sent him to death row? You have that on your conscience?
Well, I also met my wife on a jury. So that's
Now you got me confused. Is it a bad thing that you met your wife on the jury?
No, it's fantastic. We've been married 20 years.
Oh, so that's the good news. After sending the man to death row, you celebrated and got married?
Well, we didn't celebrate. I mean, I had to look him in the eye when they put him on death row.
Is he still there, or they gassed him?
Oh, he's still there. And Connecticut has abolished the death penalty, but he's still on death row.
And what was the crime?
Well, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was stopped. He had drugs on him, and he bumped the police officer to see if he had a vest on, and he turned around and put a gun in his head.
So he killed a cop?
Yeah.
And this piece of garbage is still walking the planet?
He's walking his cell, I guess.
Yeah, well, what's worse, do you think, having Well, let's talk about the death penalty. Do you think he has suffered more in this death row world, or should he have been executed looking back?
I think he should have been gone. He had.
Well, it's interesting. I've heard the anti-death row people say that living on death row is a torture of its own kind.
But I think.
See, the cost to society is very, very high for maintaining death row. The cost is overwhelming. They get their own cell, their special security. The guards are around the clock to keep them from hurting themselves. You know, then you want justice. You would like to see them executed, and there is no justice in a liberal society. So, you know, you can look at it both ways. But you can't argue, looking back upon this, that the man has had a good life, can you?
No, obviously not.
So, I don't have an answer to that one. I personally believe I'm a more fundamental kind of guy. I think that we should restore the death penalty to its original intent. And I believe this idea of delaying is a liberal tactic that is serving no one except the agenda of the left. And I have no idea why they're against the death penalty. I know the liberal argument, which is facetious to begin with, which is I'd rather see 99 guilty men go free than one innocent man be punished. I heard that garbage from the liberals in New York since I'm a kid. 99. Show me how many innocent men were actually executed. You can count them on one hand in the history of America since the death penalty was ever enacted. So would you like to be that one of them? No, I wouldn't like to be it, but I'd like to see the guilty ones killed. That's all. Because it's a deterrent. The whole point of the death penalty is that it acts as a deterrent. If we had swifter punishment, the bad person would think twice before committing a rape, a murder, or whatever it is that gets him into the death penalty. You know what I'm saying? Don't say they don't think. They do think. Believe me. If they know they can get around the law, they're going to get around the law. The sociopath works that way. 855-400-7282. Catherine on JCW Radio in Tennessee. What a refreshing thing to hear from Tennessee. What's your best story? Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I'm 79, so forgive my out of breath. I was marooned on an island when I was 13. Off Point Lookout, Long Island, with a 12-year-old girlfriend and a little black lab. And
is that one of your best or your worst memories?
Oh, no, it was the most exciting thing. Most people are shocked when I...
Well, what'd you live on for 10 days?
Well, the mother who rowed the boat over there, she used to work in New York City, and she built this little house by herself. It was an island off Point Lookout, and there was no electricity, running water, nothing, and the houses were just like one room.
Oh, no, but where was the food? What did you eat for those 10 days?
Oh, well, she brought us over and brought food, and we were there 2 days, and she said she had...
So it was like a camp out, in other words. You weren't really starving and having to forage, right?
Not right away, no. But
all right. Well, it's a pleasant memory. That's nice. To getting marooned when you're 12 and looking back on it. I think we've milked this. Let's take one more. Al on K, Eugene, Oregon, line one. Give us your best memory. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, good afternoon. You are a icon in my life. My best story there are two. The first one was in 1972 in Pamplona, Spain. I ran with the bulls and survived.
Now, what was exciting about running with the bulls? What did you like about it? Torturing the animal? Tormenting the poor animal?
The most incredible thing, I mean, the story is beautiful. It reminds me of a story you told once sitting at an Italian restaurant. This was years ago in your San Francisco broadcast days. You talked about the people you were sitting with, the Italians, the night, and you phrased it as a Fellini moment.
When Lorenzo Petroni was still alive, and we sat one night on an August night, it was hot, and we sat outside, and we ate on the table, and we drank wine, and we ate, light meal, no heavy meal, and the cars were right off, you know, the street by Columbus there, and it reminded me of that scene in Amarcord, I think, in a Fellini movie, where the trolley cars were 2 feet away from the table. That's what I'm talking about.
And you drew me right back into it. And there was another moment during that period that really hooked me on you. I have a very significant educational background, and you were talking about one night the threats you were getting. You just mentioned that you were being very, very careful from the Islamic feedback you were getting. All right, but at one moment you just slipped in this statement, and you said, "Oh yeah, I've read Carlos Castaneda," and then you moved on. But that moment when you read, I know you know those books, because you're an anthropologist among many things, but that moment when a warrior looks at everything they're doing and asks their death, is this worthy of my last second in my life? And if the answer is yes, you continue. If the answer is no, you change your direction very quickly. Because
so you obviously have... You have gone down that road.
I'm on that road. I have never left it since I picked up those books over 40-some years ago.
So you read Castaneda, and you believe that death walks with all of us?
Yes, and is our advisor. Because that question...
So death asks you all the time. Death speaks to all of us all the time and says, are you ready to go? He's always calling. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying, well, it's always waiting for us. But it will tell you at any given moment of what you're doing, if you ask that direct question, is this worthy of my last second? I want to be at my best when that comes. I don't know what's on the other side. There's a lot of mythology, heaven, hell, reincarnation. I don't go there. But whatever's on that other side, I want to be at my best when I confront it. And the best way for me, if I could design an architect of my own last second on this beautiful journey of life that I've lived, I would want to go out laughing and like to be surrounded by people that were laughing. And what they...
Al, are you into psychedelics?
Back in the days, it's part of my anthropology training. I did what anthropologists aren't supposed to do, like Carlos did. I went native. I got sucked in. Not when I say sucked in.
So what country were you in? What region? What tribe?
The most recent or back then?
No. You said you got sucked in. Give me the most dramatic in like 30 seconds or less. Where was this? You're not talking about South America, are you?
No, I'm talking about southern Mexico, Oaxaca, and my first experience with the psychedelic, you call it, mescalito, peyote.
Oh, what? You ate the buttons. You know what I want to talk? I want to hear a little bit more from you. Let me take a quick, important break and come right back on this incredible story, because I gave you the time to develop it, and you've got a lot to say here. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Well, here we are, my friends, on the Savage Nation, and it's a new day, of course. We're waiting for Donald to speak tonight, and this is the make-or-break speech in many ways. As I look at this, it looks like he's moving way, way ahead in the race for the presidency, thank God. And I think people are finding out that she's not who they want her, you know, to be. They know who she is. I think Trump has a very, very good chance of winning, despite all of the opposition in the Prague media. And despite the Cruz stab in the back, you know, A2 Brutus, it's not going to interfere with Trump's march to the White House, in my estimation. I don't think much will stop him. The question is, should Trump become president, will he restore the nation that has been, that is right now living through a scorched earth program enacted by the Obamaites, who are literally destroying every institution that they can? So you say, well, that's a broad statement. What does it really mean? It's hyperbole. You're just throwing red meat to the audience. Let me give you an example. It came from last week. Scorched earth. Are you telling me that putting transgender surgery as a priority that should precede or supersede the care of combat veterans dying in VA hospitals is not an example of undermining the military? Who in their right mind, at a time like this, in a war with ISIS, would go out of their way, except Obama, to make certain that they get as many transsexuals in who need extremely costly surgery to become yet another sex, and then on top of it all, they're not fit for anything of any use in the military? We have to take care of them, thereby draining the budget, tying up commanders. Is that not an example of scorched earth? So Trump has a lot to do in every sphere of government because of Obama's scorched earth policies. You got it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. And not everyone is obsessed with politics. The majority of the world doesn't even know that there's a convention, nor that there'll be another convention, nor that there'll be an election. The majority of the world goes about their daily business as though politicians don't exist. They just try to stay out of their way. Okay, let's give them the red meat. The peanut gallery needs to hear the Cruz boo thing. Let's hear Cruz boo 01.
I appreciate the enthusiasm of the New York delegation. We will unite the party, we will unite the country by standing together for shared values, by standing for liberty. God bless each and every one of you, and God bless the United States of America.
The hell are you to bless anyone, you creep? You good thing you lost. See, you see, he has no character. He always had that tinny voice to him. You always knew he was a sneak. A shiv job. He always looked like a backstabbing, like villain. He always did. Look what he just did. They let him on the stage and he thinks he stabbed Donald in the back. Well, I guess there goes the Attorney General's job, I guess. That's up in the air. I guess the only thing that Donald Trump could give him a job as would be ambassador to ISIS. Palin says, Cruz Trump snub, career ending. She would know something about that. She'd know an awful lot about career ending, I'll tell you that. Here's another headline. Cop deaths double in 2016 amid Obama's anti-cop rhetoric. Thank you, Barack. Physicians predict Brexit from Medicare. I'm not interested. No kidding. What doctor would stay with Medicare, with socialized medicine? What guy would go to school, a woman, for all those years and come out and make less than God knows what, a laborer? That's what they want. You know, when I grew up, I was told that doctors in the Soviet Union made less than a teacher, and I didn't understand it. It was puzzling because doctors were always at the top of the social heap when I was a kid. Teachers were kind of an entry-level job. I didn't understand how the Soviet Union would pay so little to doctors. Well, here I am living in the Soviet Union. They want doctors to earn less than a teacher that comes here from Afghanistan. It's unbelievable to me. Muslim is a second language. Are there any still people out there who love Cruz? It's like, save your Confederate money, the South will rise again. These people, like, they fought for the South and the Civil War has been over, and they're still running around with Civil War, with like Southern money that no one will take anymore. They're running around with like Cruz coins. You heard of Bitcoins? They're like Cruz coins that nobody wants to take anymore. Can I give you a Cruz coin? No, thank you. He lost. By the way, have you heard that Trump, when he becomes president, has offered Cruz an ambassadorship? Really? Where? No kidding. Yeah, to Raqqa. That's my best line of the day, by the way. People love it on Facebook. All right, some people get my sense of humor. Some don't. If you don't have a good sense of humor, do me a favor. Go listen to NPR. Listen to some sad menopausal Vivaldi music. See if I care. Da 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 da. Yeah, government radio. Every minute, how great Hillary is. You know, it's gotten so bad. The propaganda has gotten so comedic bad. That the other night Laura Ingraham spoke, was it last night? It seems like a year ago already. She did a great job, by the way. She's a friend of mine. I haven't spoken with her in months. Forever loyal to Laura. She's a great person. She gave a very dignified speech. Do you know what the rats had the nerve to do? How desperate they are? They showed a picture of her waving goodbye to the crowd with her right arm up. They said, did Laura Ingraham give a Nazi salute? This is the best they can do? This is what the left wing has become in America? This is what they've always been! They're nothing more than chicken necks in the bottom of a chicken pot. And we pay attention to them. Now, who knows what's going to happen with all of the machinations and the voting and who counts the votes and all of this. And, of course, there's the other factor, which is the wolf blitzers of the world, who are the enemies of everything good in the world. In fact, when I was watching that evil man on CNN, I literally, for the first time, wanted to reach through the tube and pull him out by his tie and smack him in the face. And the reason I despise Wolf Blitzer more than anyone else in the media is because he pretends to be a nice old guy. But he isn't. Wolf Blitzer has been conducting psychological warfare and subversion to control the minds of America through his psychological warfare for as long as I can remember him on television. Which leads me to something else. The Prague's coverage of the Republican convention, I'm using the word Prague, to describe progressive, in case you never heard it before. I'm sick of using the word liberal. It's so overused. I'm not going to use it anymore. We've used it for so long, right? Okay, I've been writing about it for you. So I'm going to use the word progs, progressives. The Prague's convention coverage, as exemplified by the little men and women, the Wolf Blitzers, the other one, and look, back. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They have no what to cover. So there's two lines overlap with the other one's speech, and already they turned it into bigger than the World War III. It's already bigger than every subject on the planet. Two lines overlap from whatever her name is. I don't remember her name. Barack Obama's wife. I don't remember her name. I swear, like, I don't carry it around like, you know, the be-all and end-all. I don't watch television that much. Michelle. Two lines were identical to Michelle's lines, and Michelle took her lines from books. They left that out, all of the progs. They made that a bigger story than the rape of the little girls by the ISIS subhumans. The industrial rape machine that's going on in the Middle East was not covered by Wolf Blitzer. It's a shame. It's a disaster. So why is this happening? Because of the psychological warfare subversion and a desire to control Western society. Now, I'm going to go into something here out of right field. I stumbled upon something on the internet, on YouTube, done by a former KGB psychological warfare expert named Yuri Bezmenov. No one ever heard of him. And he happens to have done the most amazing speech on this subject I had ever seen. And he was talking about how subversion is the key, and how the goal of subversion is to convert the mind, and how subversion comes in stages and takes great patience, and how keys to changing the mind are changing religion, education, and using the media. And then this former KGB officer, I don't even know if he's still living, said something about people like Wolf Blitzer, who are the enemies of all free people, in my opinion, in clip number 26. Listen to his own words.
The bodies of people, groups of people, whom nobody elected, never, as a matter of fact, most of the people don't like them at all, and yet they exist. One of such group is media. Who elected them? How come they have so much power, almost monopolistic power on your mind? They can rape your mind. But who elected them? How come they have a nerve to decide what is good and what is bad for the elected by you, President, and his administration?
So in other words, they're trying to tear down everything decent about Melania Trump by focusing on one overlap of a few words. This is what he means by the evil psychological warfare being conducted by the vermin in the Prague media. Get it? But there's more to this speech than meets the eye. that I'm going to play a little bit here and there over today. And he's trying to tell us, when was this done? It was done a long time ago. I think it was done in the 70s, right? If I'm not mistaken. He was saying people mistakenly believe that undermining a nation is done through espionage, meaning through spies. But he said, no, that's the smallest part of undermining a society. Did you hear? Listen to clip 18 as to how a country is destroyed.
The espionage as such occupies only 10 to 15% of money, time, and manpower. The rest, 85%, is always subversion. Subversion in Soviet terminology means always a destructive, aggressive activity aimed to destroy the country, nation, or geographical area of your enemy.
At the end of the day, I'm trying to awaken you to the fact that America's future is hanging like a loose tooth on a really thin strand of DNA. And the destructive, aggressive activity that is being used by Wolf Blitzer, again, I'll keep repeating the name so you know who I'm talking about, Jake Tapper, and people like them. They are exactly what we are talking about when we talk about the enemies of our freedom and the enemies of our way of life, in my estimation. Now, let me give an example. Again, the Melania speech. That was a destructive, aggressive activity aimed to destroy the country, the nation, or geographical area of the enemy. The enemy of Wolf Blitzer and Jake Tapper is the Republican Party. Anyone that does not support Hillary is their enemy. They hate the Republican Party more than they hate ISIS. They are more vindictive than this. Well, you get that. I don't have to go down the line. But then he says most of their activity is legitimate. And it is. It's not illegal. Now, I want you to listen to what it is to be a subverter in clip 19.
Most of this activity is overt, legitimate, and easily observable if you give yourself time and trouble to observe it. But according to the law, it's not a crime. Exactly, because of misconception, manipulation of terms. We think that subverter is a person who is going to blow up our beautiful bridges. No, subverter is a student who comes for exchange, a diplomat, an actor, an artist, a journalist like myself.
You are listening to Yuri Bezmenov, a former KGB agent. This piece, I stumbled upon it over the weekend. I don't know how long, a week or two ago. What we're witnessing right now, and the case in point is blowing out, way out of proportion, the overlap of a few lines in Melania's speech with that of, again, Mrs. Obama, Michelle, is exactly what he's talking about. Subversion, psychological warfare, control of Western society by manipulating the mind. And their goal is to subvert your mind and convert you into thinking that she actually did plagiarize, and that now is the biggest story in the entire world. So this shows you who the true enemies of your survival and your freedom are. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So, all right, the big news is that, I don't know why it's big news to anyone outside the news business. Ailes steps down from Fox News. Nobody cares. Murdoch and Son to address newsroom this hour about changes. Big deal. How is that going to change your life? Robert, do you care about this? Jim, do you really care about it? I mean, what's the big deal? I never met them. I wish them luck. I don't care. I think the company's too big. I think that we need an antitrust legislation in America when Trump becomes president. Well, for that matter, God forbid, if Hillary becomes president, it's never going to happen because she's got to break up her supporters at Google. She's got to break up Facebook. They're beyond the size of most countries in power and income. And they're crushing all competition. You know, so what do I really care about, whether it's Ailes or someone else there? What's the difference to me? They put out a good product. They put out a nice news story. Good. All right, fine. And now what? Why is it my story? Now we got the Cruz thing. I did it already. He said, vote your conscience, and everyone went crazy because he stabbed Trump in the back. Boom. Now let's move on. So what else is in the move? Oh, here's a news story I missed before. I remember the story about Melania Trump's speech, and they made a big deal, a little overlap. They turned it into like Hitler already and Mussolini combined. They turned it into a bigger story than the invasion of Czechoslovakia. Certainly they made it bigger than Benghazi. They made it bigger than Egypt melting down. They made it bigger than Libya melting down. They made it bigger than Syria melting down under Hillary. So that little story, you know what came up? A little tiny thing, but it's a big deal. Melania Trump's speechwriter is a registered Democrat. You hear this? Meredith McIver, a longtime writer for the Trump Organization, admitted that she had helped Melania compose the speech she delivered at the GOP convention. Can you believe this? Yeah, but it was generic terminology, like Hallmark card stuff, like we can be great again together. Oh, God. That's what's going on with the world burning. But anyway, she's a registered Democrat, I thought you should know. L.A. Times suggests military coup against President Trump. They don't mean President Obama, don't they? Okay. Cruz gets booed after he declines to endorse Trump. That we covered already. The Texas firebrand urges Republicans to vote their conscience in primetime address. All right, big deal. Here's another little headline for you. Global warming expedition stopped in its tracks by Arctic sea ice from the Daily Caller. That's a nice one. A group of adventurers, sailors, pilots, and climate scientists that recently started a journey around the North Pole in an effort to show the lack of ice has been blocked from further travels by ice. You know, God has a way of slapping fools in their face, I got to tell you. They're currently stuck in Murmansk, Russia, because there is too much ice blocking. There's too much ice blocking the Northeast Passage, the team said, didn't exist in summer months, according to Real Climate Science. The current Arctic temperatures, despite alarmist claims of the Arctic being hotter than ever, is actually below normal. God, what is it going to take for the average drug addict to accept this? Nothing. Mind is made up. Now, I've got everything about Roger Ailes that I never wanted to know. I don't care. I hope Fox News thrives. They're the only thing we have, but I don't care whether Ailes is in the front or the back. I wish the girls would wear a little more demure outfits. It's disgusting. It's not that I care about the striptease. Let me listen to what they're saying instead of looking at their legs and their shoes. Is that what Ailes... This is Ailes' greatest thing, is he brought half-nude girls to news, and the news took off. If you put Wolf Blitzer in a pair of shorts, the ratings might go up, just to laugh at him. If you put Wolf Blitzer and you saw his white legs with the hair, with the knock knees, people would tune in just to laugh at the guy. I couldn't say the same for Rachel Maddow. I think that Wolf Blitzer in a short skirt would bring in more ratings than Rachel Maddow, personally. But it's definitely got something to do with the ratings over there, was the half-striptease show. I wish them luck. I hope they do well. So I'm talking about psychological warfare in plain English, subversion in plain English, control of your mind in plain English. And I'm giving you examples of how the progs work. And there's no greater example than what's been going on at the convention, this bland vanilla convention, where there's virtually no controversy that they can attach themselves to because it was planned that way. Manafort and company decided, I believe, to create a vanilla ice cream cone that could not be assaulted in any manner. That's why they have no controversial speakers. And that is why I told them in advance by email, I'm not going to make it about me. Don't even think of inviting me because I'm not going to go for reasons that we can both agree on, which is that the minute I would appear on the stage, if that would ever happen, can you imagine what these subversives would be saying? Michael Savage, who was banned in Britain for saying kill all Muslims, which I never said, was it da-da-da, immediately it would destroy the Trump campaign. These subversives in the media, the Wolf Blitzers, the Jake Tappers, the Brian, whoever their names are, who can remember, it's a blur. They tried to destroy the entire campaign based upon a non-event. So you could imagine what they would do with a controversial speaker who actually talked about anything fundamental.